message is from New Life Gillette Church Series, Bad Habits of Jesus. Pastor Paul presents part four of this series.
Good morning, everyone. I am Paul, one of the pastors here at New Life, and it is good to be with you this morning or whenever it is that you might jump onto this opportunity to worship with us. We're in this journey of looking at some bad habits of Jesus. Mike has shared with us the last couple weeks some of the bad habits that Jesus had, like working through fear, like spitting on the ground or getting his hands dirty, I guess it was. We talk about these bad habits of Jesus. We're not talking about like biting our nails or running too many times to Starbucks, but instead we're talking about those things that Jesus did that was counterculture. Those things that Jesus did that were different from what society was doing in that time period. And today, since we are on that special day, the day when we think a lot about the ladies that are around us, the women, and especially moms, I thought it'd be good for us to consider that bad habit in regards to women that Jesus had. Now, some of you might be saying, wait a second, Jesus had a bad habit in regards to women? And yeah, he did. And so we're going to look at that and get an understanding and how that can bless us in our journey. So before we do that, though, we got to get understanding of what was the context that Jesus was walking around in as he shared life with people in that time period. What was the condition of dealing with women? And so when we think about that, women in that time period, when Jesus was walking the earth, they were like secondhand citizens. And truthfully, for me to say that, that's raising them up a little bit because they weren't citizens really at all. They were like property. You know, for a woman had no rights in that time period unless she got married to a man, and the only reason she had rights was because the man had rights. She had none. And with the women, the men could do with what they wanted, really. The woman that was married to a man, it was for his pleasure that she was in charge of making him happy. And so if we think about that, the man then, he had a choice. If the woman wasn't doing her job of making him happy, whether it was in the kitchen or wherever it might be, he had the right that he could dismiss her and send her out the door. And a woman did not want to be sent out the door because, again, she had no right. She had no property. She had no good way of making a living for herself. And so if she found herself in the street, the only hope that she had was another man would see her and think that she would bring value to him in his home, in his kitchen, making him happy, and that he would maybe marry her. Now, getting married back then was not like when Karen and I got married, where it was a mutual thing. We came together, we fell in love, and we wanted to be together to bless each other. But instead, back then, it was only if a man saw value in that woman in his life. And so women had a tough life. They had a lot of bad self-esteem. They had a lot of bad value issues. They did not think that they had much worth at all. On their own, they were in a bad shape. Possibly they could be a slave in someone's household, or if nothing else, they could find their way into prostitution. To say a woman had a hard life back in that time period was an understatement. Women were more like property than they were citizens. Women were available in society to simply be there for a man. So again, what does Jesus face in his time period? When Jesus walked the earth, it was not normal for a man to hang out with, to care about, to encourage, or even acknowledge a woman's presence. Now, don't get me wrong. There were some families, and we can see some of them in Scripture, where a woman could have a possibility because of a good family connection that they could be cared for. For instance, in that family of Martha and Mary, we see that they had a good situation because Lazarus was there. And was there a husband involved? Well, we don't know, but they had a good family situation where they knew that they were cared for. And as a matter of fact, they even cared and partnered with Jesus in the ministry journey that he was on. And also, don't get me wrong, I know that in Scripture, we can see that there were some good husband-wife relationships, like Adam or Abraham and Sarah, and Rebecca and Isaac. And even we could look at Ruth and Boaz, where we see some of these relationships that they did seem like there was a good connection there between the husband and the wife. Even in the New Testament, we see in Luke in the early pages, John the Baptist's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, there seemed to be a connection there. And so there were some good men who could have that would have a good relationship with their wife. But in general, in society, a woman was dependent upon a good man blessing them in that relationship. As a woman, life would have been tough and possibly downright hard. They could have faced abuse, belittlement, very low self-esteem, and bad self-worth. Now, I know that we've come a long way in our journey in society, and hopefully you've seen a little bit of that since then, that life is better for women than it was back then, but it's been a long journey. I mean, even in the church, in church history, we find some of our greatest thinkers in church history where they maybe didn't understand this bad habit of Jesus that we'll look at in a minute and how we should care for women. For instance, the great Thomas Aquinas, a great thinker in the 1200s, he said this: "As regards the individual nature, women is defective and misbegotten. The production of women comes from some material indisposition or even from some external influence, such as that as a south wind, a wind which is moist. By such a kind of subjection, woman is naturally subject to man, because in man, the discretion of reason predominates." How many of you moms would like to get that in a Mother's Day card today? Yowza. And as we jump forward a little bit, another great thinker, Friedrich Nietzsche, says this in the 1800s. "Are you visiting women? Do not forget the whip." Well, I hope that we've come a long way from some of those thinkings. And you think about how television and movies have changed our mindset a little bit as we considered how we treat women, how we care about women. I hope it's changed a little bit over the years. But there's one show that I saw a clip of here the other day. It's one of those shows that we can watch that has a little camaraderie, called Battle of the Sexes. And in this episode, we find the men and the women going against each other in Bible trivia. Check this out.
All right, we are here with Pastor and Wife Bible Trivia. This first question is for the guys.
Okay.
Where was Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
I think we got that one. All right, Darcy.
So these are hard questions.
Here is the first question for the ladies. What kind of tree did Absalom, a son of David, get his hair caught in, according to the New King James Version of the Bible?
How rude.
What kind of tree did Absalom, a son of David, get his hair caught in?
Okay, it's the Bible.
It was definitely a peach tree.
You think?
Fig trees are in the Bible.
Fig, let's go with that.
Let's go with fig.
Fig tree,
I don't know
final
that that's
answer.
A big enough tree.
Terebinth tree.
I knew that.
I see what's going on here.
Okay, second question for the men. How many disciples did Jesus have?
You want to take this one?
Before or after the suicide of...
Oh. No, he was still a disciple.
Okay.
Like
12.
Like
12 it is.
Say it in Greek, yes. Please.
12.
All right, ladies. What or who were Muppin, Huppin, and Ard?
Do you know? Please tell me you know.
It's a Bible story in the Old Testament,
it
right?
It like Muppets.
You should know this.
Say Muppets.
Muppets is a pretty good answer.
Did Dr. Seuss do any Bible stories?
Come on.
Golly, man, I'm reading through the Old Testament with you and I have no clue who they are.
I'll give you a hint. They were sons of somebody.
Great.
Ooh. Jesus.
Eleazar.
They were sons of Benjamin.
Can't believe you didn't know that.
Uncool.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, guys, you're up. Okay. What's the name of the disciple who betrayed Jesus?
Ooh. I think we just talked about him a second ago. Judas Iscariot, maybe?
Yep.
Man, if we get one.
All right, final answer.
Final answer. How'd we do?
You got it.
All right.
Very good.
Ladies, maybe you'll get a...
I'm starting to sweat.
Oh, I feel the same way.
God. All right, ladies. Jesus wept, John 11:35, is known as the shortest verse in the New Testament. Where can the shortest Old Testament verse in the New King James translation be found?
Okay, I know this. I don't know. Maybe it's beget. He beget in Genesis. No?
I have no idea.
It's a pretty good guess, right?
Sounds good. Guess it.
He beget.
Okay, man, back to you.
Wait, so what was the answer?
Oh, First Chronicles. We'll
beget? Was it beget?
We need the word.
Oh. Guess you'll have to look it up.
Okay.
Okay, men, how did Jesus die?
You want to take that one?
On a cross.
Crucified, yeah.
Crucified, yes.
Okay,
next question. Kay. For the ladies still.
Okay.
The prophet Jeremiah had a secretary. What was his secretary's name?
What? Jeremiah had a secretary? Was it a woman?
Wish I would have got this one.
Jeremiah's secretary.
I feel like a good, solid answer is Sarah.
Ooh.
Or, you know, Hannah. There's a lot of them.
Joseph.
Joseph sounds good.
Okay.
Is that Joseph your final answer?
Sure, yeah.
It's Baruch.
So close.
I knew it. That was
Joseph was his first name.
Oh, that was my second answer.
Okay.
Okay, back to the guys. Who gave Jesus gifts when he was born?
Wise men.
Ding, ding, ding.
Santa Claus, it was Christmas.
Yeah.
We three kings.
This is for the ladies. The word ball, B-A-L-L, is mentioned only once in the whole Bible. What book was it mentioned in?
Okay, Darcy's the sports person.
We have a pretty good chance. One. I'm going to take Revelation out of there.
That's the one. I would say Song of Songs, but I don't think they're the
Wow.
No.
They're not that literal.
I doubt. Okay. I don't know. They're pretty literal.
It's pretty figurative.
Yeah, it is in there.
Okay.
Yes.
All the fawns and things. Okay,
long necks.
Oh. I feel like we could take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John out because they're like, they say a lot of the same things.
We've read them a lot. We would remember,
same with,
right?
Ephesians through, you know, Colossians, Peter, and Philippians. So not those. Okay, so I'm going to go with...
Do you think it's like a ball, or do you think it's like a ball, like pretty dresses?
Ball.
Okay.
It's got to be Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, probably like...
They were playing a sport. Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah! Daniel.
Close, it was Isaiah.
That's some really good.
All right, so what was the score?
We're done already?
Man, you're on a roll. Yes. Almost. We're done.
Well, surely you can see that was definitely equal. I mean, surely Mike and I have great biblical knowledge, and we just naturally beat them, right? Or maybe not. But let's remember, what was Jesus dealing with back when he walked the earth? When Jesus walked the earth, it was not normal for a man to hang out with, to care about, encourage, or even acknowledge a woman's presence. So if that's how other men, and especially other rabbis, thought about, considered women, then what was the bad habit? How does Jesus consider women in this story? Well, not surprisingly, we see Jesus do the opposite of what other men did in regards to how he considered, how he cared about women. And truthfully, it's not a whole lot different than when we see Jesus treating other people who are second-class citizens or considered to be outcasts in society, like the leper or poor person or a sinner. Jesus looks at them and considers them to have worth and cares about them. Jesus had this bad habit of rebelling against what society says was correct when it went against his natural law of loving others. It's amazing to me that great men of thinkers like Thomas Aquinas and others who would have seen the scriptures would not have realized this, because we see these stories after stories after stories where Jesus loved on women, empowered women, lifted them up from the pits they were in. a natural story is we just think back just a few weeks ago. We celebrated the Easter story, the greatest story in the history of the world, the day of the resurrection. And in the midst of that story, what do we find Jesus doing but lifting women up and letting them know that they have worth, that they have value? It was on that first Easter morning when Jesus came out of the tomb, and as the ladies came that early Easter morning to the tomb and found it empty, it wasn't the disciples, it wasn't some great king that Jesus went to first to show that he was alive. No, it was the ladies who had followed him along his journey. You see, what was the bad habit of Jesus? This is what it was. Jesus had the bad habit of making women feel like they had worth and a purpose, and he treated them accordingly. And we find this in story after story after story throughout the Gospels. As Jesus walks and he finds himself encountering different women, he lifts them up and shows them what great worth. One great story, and we're not going to look deeply into it, but I just love this story. It's John chapter 4, where the Gospel of John, written by one of his disciples, he encounters this woman who is the poster child of a woman of that age. She was a woman who had been passed around from one man to another as a husband and then just bringing her in to live with him. And they took advantage of her and utilized her just to please them. And as that story goes on, all of a sudden, here comes Jesus into her story. And Jesus pauses his life so that he can encounter her. And not only does Jesus lift her up and share worth with her, but he allows the entire community to see what he sees in this woman. John chapter 4. If you've never read it before, you got to check it out. It's one of the amazing stories, story after story, where we find Jesus empowering ladies, caring about ladies, and even in stories like Martha and Mary, we find Jesus partnering with them and doing ministry alongside of them as he carried out his mission to share the good news with others. One of my favorite stories, though, it's found in Matthew chapter 15, and it's one of these stories where we find Jesus encountering a woman, and he shares one of those phrases that Jesus likes to share that makes us take a double take. It just catches us way off guard as he shares life with this woman. Again, Matthew chapter 15, where it starts like this. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." And we need to pause there just for a moment because we need to realize, what are those disciples feeling as this story is going on? As this woman is coming alongside and crying out to Jesus, where are those disciples in this? And very quickly, we can imagine the disciples are getting frustrated very quickly. Because the disciples right now in this part of the story of Jesus, they're on a spiritual high. You know, you think about what had happened in the Gospel of Matthew before this story happened. These disciples have seen some amazing things from Jesus. He had pounded out some powerful teaching and sharing what God's kingdom was all about. They had seen him feeding thousands of people with just a couple loaves and fish. They had watched Jesus walking across the water, and then after he got into the boat, calming the storm for a second time. They had seen Jesus healing person after person after person. They were on a high. And as they traveled along with Jesus, they just wanted more Jesus time. They wanted Jesus all for themselves so they could keep experiencing these great things that God had going on in their story. But nothing was happening. They were getting frustrated because Jesus wasn't saying anything to this woman. Or was he? Let's see. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Now you see, this wasn't normal because Jesus was the rabbi, and as he traveled along, surely he would eventually say to this woman, "Get lost, get out of here, because you shouldn't be here." You see, this woman, it wasn't just that she was a woman, but it was also the fact that she was one of them. What do I mean by one of them? Well, she was one of those people that were way outside, those outcasts that we don't like to associate with. It's almost like a Kansas City Chiefs fan right now. You know that it just gets frustrating hearing from Kansas City Chiefs fan right now over and over every day in the office. I hear, we won the Super Bowl over and over. He wants to share that good news. Well, you'd think that they'd get a little understanding that we're tired of it. You know, I guess I have to share a little grace with them because they don't have the same understanding that some of us do that Super Bowls, they can just be won all the time. It's their first one, I think. They just don't understand it, and so they don't get it. They're like this woman. She was an outcast. She was considered way outside because she was a Gentile, outside the Jewish people. And so the disciples were struggling, they were hurting, but here's Jesus. He doesn't say a word to her. He keeps just drawing her in to the conversation so that he can pause life and have a moment with her. But the disciples, how were they feeling? Let's see. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She is bothering us with all of her begging. They wanted Jesus to themselves. They wanted her to get sent away. That was a normal thing for them to be thinking. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. Jesus simply shares his mission with them. He came to bring salvation to the world, but through the story of the people of God. He didn't share anything that was out of the ordinary. But how does this woman, as Jesus keeps drawing her in, how does she respond? She says this, but she came and she worshiped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. It says she came and she worshiped. What does that mean that she did? Well, basically, she probably took a posture like this. She knelt down before Jesus and looked up at him. She recognized and realized that he is up here on the big spectrum of things, and she was way down here. She acknowledged that you have worth, and in the world's eyes, I don't have any. In doing so, she said, God, Jesus, help me. It probably wouldn't have been bad if the disciples pulled alongside of her and for them to realize just who Jesus was in comparison to them. Jesus keeps pulling her in, and then Jesus responds, it isn't right to take food from the children and catch this and throw it to the dogs? Does that sound like something Jesus would say? You see, Jesus simply knows the language of the day. He knows that the Jewish people looked at the Gentile people, those outcasts, and he simply considered them, or they simply considered those Gentiles as dogs, because the blessings of God surely would not fall on the Gentiles any more than it would fall on the dogs that ran around the streets. Jesus knew the language, and the woman would have too. This would not have surprised her. But in Jesus sharing this, he still doesn't say, get away from me. He's still just having a conversation with her. And so she replies, that's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. I love this moment. It's one of my favorite Jesus moments. I wish we could all learn a faith like this woman. This woman looks at Jesus and said, you are so amazing, so awesome, so high and lifted up that if I can just get the scraps from your table, if I can just get a little bit of the blessings that you have flowing out of your life, that is all that my family needs. This is a woman who realized just who Jesus was and what he could do with just a little bit of the blessings in his life. How does Jesus respond? I can't imagine how big his smile must be. He says, dear woman, Jesus says to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted, and her daughter was instantly healed. Now, for many of us, it's that last sentence that we get excited about. He healed another person. But surely by now, in the midst of the Jesus story, we're starting to realize that healing somebody is not a big deal for Jesus. But look at the bigger picture here of what he does for this woman who is an outcast, not just because she's a woman, because she's a Gentile, and he lifts her up with a smile on his face, probably even a belly laugh, and he says, dear woman, not you Gentile scum or you dog, but he says, dear woman, a term of endearment. And he says, your faith, your belief that moves you to action, your faith is great. Jesus took this woman from where she was and he lifts her up and he says, you have value, you have worth. You see, Jesus recognizes and realizes that every person that he has created has worth. And especially in a moment like this, when the society says she has no worth, no value, he wants her to make sure that she knows she does. You see, this bad habit of Jesus is one that we struggle with because in our lives, we sometimes allow Satan to get us out of kilter with what Jesus shows as a bad habit of how we should regard others. And sometimes, yes, women. You know, there's some of you men out there that you need to hear this story. You need to hear about this bad habit because there's some of you men out there that still today, you look at a woman maybe just because she's a little weaker than you and you don't act as Jesus does with that woman. Maybe you belittle her, abuse her, maybe with your words, maybe with your physical abuse, and you're doing something that is against the heart of God. So maybe for you, you need to hear this and realize that maybe you need to change. Maybe you need to look at a better way to interact with that woman, to recognize and realize that she is a creation of God, and you need to love her the way that God loves her. Because here's, I think, what Jesus really wants us to all know as he shares this bad habit. The fact is that we are all created by God as equals, yet we are all different. Again, let me say that we are all created by God as equals, yet we are all different. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at my wife and I, for instance. We are created as equals. In that, God loves each of us, both of us, unconditionally. God created us with value and with worth and with purpose, both of us equally. Jesus went to the cross for both Karen and I. God loves all of us unconditionally. But also, he creates us differently. God's workmanship is so creative and amazing, and he makes us look different. For instance, Karen and I again. If my kids wanted to learn how to play a sport or wanted to learn about a sport, the last person that they would go to in our family would be Karen. And Karen would be the first to admit that. She does not have a whole lot of athletic ability. You know, back when we were younger, before we had kids, we would go out to a lot of sporting events locally to support the kids in our church. And when we would go out, I would go out to enjoy the sport. My wife would go out so that she could see who was with who and talk to people and maybe see what the new hairstyle was for the day. But at the same time, I know that there's some of you ladies out there that your kids would be wise going to you to learn about sports because you have great athletic ability. Karen's just not one of them. On the flip side, though, if my kids wanted to learn about arts and crafts, they should, unless they wanted to draw some stick figures, they should not come to me. I am not a creative, artistic person, but my wife is. She is amazing with those types of things. See, God creates us as equals, yet we're all different. He loves us all unconditionally, but he created us differently. So one of the things that we can do with that is that we can learn how to appreciate each other in the workmanship that God has for all of us. Again, we are all created by God as equals, yet we are all different. So what can you do with this? Well, this is the perfect day for you kids to think about how you can appreciate this. Go to your mom or another woman who has blessed you in your life, and maybe you need to acknowledge and bless them and let them know how special they are to you. You know, I think if my mom was here, she's up in heaven right now with Jesus, but I think back to my mom and how special she was to me. My mom was a nurse, and she was a natural caregiver to others. She was what we call a home health nurse, so she traveled around to different people's homes as they were coming out of the hospital to care for them there. And I remember one story that a man told me about my mom is that as mom was coming and visiting with him, he wasn't just blessed because of her medical ability, but instead he told me after she was done caring for him medically, then my mom went on to care for him in other ways by listening to him and just acknowledging that he had special purpose in life. And after she listened well, the next time she came back to visit, he said he was so blessed because she had remembered how much he loved chocolate chip cookies, and my mom brought chocolate chip cookies, which that's not surprising to me. I wasn't surprised at all by that story because my mom was a natural person all around the community. If she knew somebody was hurting, more than likely she was going to be taking some kind of a food dish or a baked good and blessing, because my mom just was a natural caregiver of others. What about you? Who's that woman in your life, whether it's your mom, your grandma, an aunt, or just another woman in your community who has blessed you? Don't just give her flowers this day. Don't just take her out to eat, but instead bless her by acknowledging the workmanship that God has done with her, the great value and worth that God has laid upon her, and let her know how special she is. Another thing we can do for you dudes out there, we can let our children know how to take care of women by how we live our lives. What I mean by that is my daughters are growing up, and the most important thing that I need to teach my daughters is this bad habit of Jesus. I want them, as they're eventually looking for a husband, I want them to know what they're looking for, that they want to find a man who loves Jesus and allows Jesus to love them through this man. And they're going to best learn what that looks like by how I love my wife and how I love my daughters. And I'm even thinking and praying for my future daughter-in-laws. You know, I want them to be so blessed because of the young men that I am raising, that they have learned how to treat women because of how they have watched me love my wife and love my daughters. You know, we need to keep remembering that Jesus had this bad habit, and this is what it was, one more time. Jesus had the bad habit of making women, and truthfully, and men, feel like they had worth and purpose, and he treated them accordingly. You know, God looks at each and every one of us, and he says that each and every one of us have great worth and great value, and he longs for us each to be able to share that with each other. You know, one of the favorite things of mine of this COVID-19 journey that we've been on, if there is something good in it, it's been all of us realizing that there are people in our community that have great worth that maybe we haven't noticed before, but because of the situation, we've started to notice that. For instance, how many times in the past have we ever walked by someone who's stocking the grocery store shelves and actually told them, thank you for doing your job? But yet during these last several weeks, we've been doing that, especially if they're stocking toilet paper. And what about the truck drivers of the world? You know, how many times have we really acknowledged how important truck drivers are in our society? But today, we're doing that over and over again because we realize how important it is for them to get the food from where it is to where we need it to be. Jesus has a bad habit of making people feel worthy, feel purpose, feel like they have value, and he treats them accordingly. For all of us, we need to learn that same bad, good habit so that we can let others know what Jesus thinks of them. Let us pray. God, I thank you that as you looked into each of our lives, that you loved us all unconditionally, that you created us differently, but so special. And you allow us then, Lord Jesus, to realize your unconditional love because of what you have done for us. God, I pray that each of us can take this bad habit that you have shown us and that we can take it and put it into practice as we encounter person after person, whether it's a man and maybe especially if it's a woman. Especially on this day, Lord God, may we look around the community and see the great women who you have created, and may we acknowledge how much you love them and value them, and may we be like you and share that same special worth with them. Thanks, God. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Pray that you'll have a great week, and hopefully someday in the near future, we will see you right here.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.